intro music.
Hello, and welcome. No, I am not Blake Stacy, and he did not leave, so please do not close your podcast app right now. Blake is still here, as well as Cody. Welcome to the Future Family Podcast. Guys, you there?
Or that is Hi, everyone.
What's up?
What's good?
What's up?
We are back from our legendary guest episode last week on Women in Ministry.
Did you listen?
And
did
boys,
you listen?
Did you listen?
I hope you did.
You better have. Can we just talk about, I thought it was hilarious, and we talked about it, and we all thought it was hilarious, that so Danny put a post on Facebook to give us free publicity, which, like, huge fan of. Love it. We love it when we get free publicity, of course, because we're all here for getting sponsored and making millions. Let's be honest. But underneath this post, we're like, multiple people who we love, by the way. We love your enthusiasm for this podcast, who said
so
something
much.
Like, OMG, Danny's famous, or like putting Jackson, Mississippi on the map. And we all were just like screenshotting that and sending it to each other, being like, oh, if only they knew.
If only they knew these three kids, one unemployed kid, are starting a podcast that their moms are the only ones that listen to.
Right.
Danny.
If only they knew that our consistent listeners include ourselves and two of our mothers. But we won't say who the one isn't.
Because my mother would not know how to operate the podcast app on her iPad. But I think it's fair to note that we are famous. We're also, we come across as these humble guys because I think it's in our nature. It's our upbringing. We don't want to come off as better than you, you know? So we are actually a famous podcast. We get thousands and thousands of listeners every week. We have people emailing us every single week, just asking us advice on how to live life and how to be a, just be a human. And so, Cody said all that to say this. Yeah, we're actually famous. We're actually a big time podcast.
And I don't know about you boys, but I have people giving me babies to sign and then subsequently raise every day. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. It's against the law.
But yeah, we're too humble. We're not famous. So I hope you caught the sarcasm in my voice.
Now, boys, what are we discussing today? I know it's going to be some deep, introspective topic.
It is. I will say this. We're going to keep it under an hour. That is a promise.
Oh, that is
a... That's a promise we're keeping this episode for sure. So listen, if you're already in 3 minutes, it's going to be less than 1 hour. Pinky promise.
Pinky promise. Absolutely. We're going to make it in at 59:59
right now.
But Blake, what are we talking about this week?
I'm going to pass it to Tanner and let him tell us.
That's Blake's way of saying...
I don't
know. Doesn't remember what we're talking about this week.
Yeah. So, listener, the title may change, but right now the working title is we're going to talk about our unashamed opinions. Mm. These very specific things that we each individually enjoy that perhaps most of you may not even know about us. You may never guess it. And we might try to persuade the other two to come to our side, see our side of the fence, see how right we are. And so, we'll see how it goes.
Absolutely.
I like it.
I mean, to be clear, probably anybody and everybody who knows me and Blake knows our unashamed opinions. But
true.
Tanner, yours was a very much surprise to me this week, I must say. And I really look forward to hearing you talk about it.
Me too.
So let's save Tanner's for last, because I think that's probably going to foster the best discussion. Mm-hmm. So, Blake, you or me, which one's going first on this one?
I mean, I'm, as I normally say, let's save the best for first. And so I'll go ahead and start.
So I'll go. I'm sorry.
Also, I don't always say that. But yeah, I'll start. Cody can bat second. And then,
that sounds great. I'll take up the middle child.
And then Tanner can wrap us up. But hey, if you know me, you likely know my unashamed love for Taylor Swift. What was that?
That was the sound, boys. I'm so glad you asked. That was the sound of an Aspatech mosquito zapper
working. It sounded like someone opened a Sprite in my ear.
That was the sound. That was the sound of
good.
Righteous death happening right here in my house. And I'm, you keep going, little buddy.
I thought, you know what I thought? I thought it was a cymbal, like someone crashing cymbals in the background, just celebrating the name Taylor Swift. That was my first.
Imagine with me, reaction. Yeah. Imagine with me, if you will, the first day that I bought this and I read on the Amazon review, this thing is so quiet, you can barely hear it. And then I'm sitting on my couch, like playing PlayStation or something, and it sounds like a Colt 45 goes off in my apartment. about awesome. Peed my pants. Anyways, awesome. Back to Taylor Swift.
Yes, I love her. Huge fan. Way back to 2006, the self-titled album, Taylor Swift. You might have heard the song. Yeah, it was popular. Teardrops on My Guitar. Even then, and I'm not a huge country music fan. Let me tell you this. I'm not a huge country music fan. But even when she was in the genre of country, I was a big fan of Taylor Swift. I'll tell everyone in high school, yeah, I don't like country music, but I love Taylor Swift. Definitely a big fan of her. A lot of great songs off of that first album. Tim McGraw, Picture to Burn. There was a
Tim McGraw was featured on an album
song.
On a song.
Well, it was the song called Tim McGraw.
Oh, okay.
Taylor Swift sang. Yeah, it's a good one. You should check it out. But I'm not a huge early Taylor Swift fan. I like next album. Let's just walk through the albums. Next album was Fearless. They had the song Fearless on it. It's 15 Love Story. Very popular song. You Belong With Me, another very popular song. That one, I really loved that album. Loved how her sound was kind of changing. Let's fast forward to the next album, which was it's close to my favorite. Really? Speak Now. We're getting there, Tanner. Speak Now was good. Sparks Fly, love that song. Mine, the song Speak Now, which is kind of, if you go listen to that song, it's kind of morbid, I think. If that's the correct word to describe it, it's talking about how, you know, whenever you get married and they say, hey, if anyone has any objections, speak now, forever hold your peace. That song is pretty much talking about that and how Taylor wrecks a marriage or something like that. I don't know. It's kind of morbid, but I love the tune. I love the song.
Role model.
She's a great role model for young kids. Enchanted's on there. Ours is on there. That's a really good album. That's close to my favorite, but my favorite album is Red, and that was released 2002. It's got the song Red. It's got Treacherous. 22. I think everyone knows that one. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. I'm actually feeling 24. Turned 24 a couple weeks ago. It's got Holy Ground, Everything Has Changed, Starlight. I think that is my favorite album. But then we fast forward, we change genre. Even that album, she was kind of changing genres. Fast forward to 1989, just a whole nother like level of music. And so many songs on that one. Welcome to New York, Blank Space, Out of the Woods, Shake It Off, Bad Blood, I Know Places. A lot of great stuff on there. Love that album. And then the most recent, Reputation, released last year with the greatest single in the world, Look What You Made Me Do. Just look at the lyrics. They're fantastic. Very sarcastic about that statement. But I do like the song. It did grow on me. I'll be honest. I wasn't a big fan when it first came out. And I was like, wow, this is a terrible song. But the more I listened to it, I was like, dang, I love this. And if you remember, yeah, last year at my birthday party, I was actually singing karaoke to this song.
You were.
Because I loved it so much. Fantastic. But that album's also great. Ready For It's on there, Endgame. Really like that one. King of My Heart, really good. Gorgeous, that's a fun one. I love right now, Delicate. I think that's my favorite song off that album. But all that to say, huge, huge, huge Taylor Swift fan. I could go on for days. That was just a kind of a Swift, you see what I did? A Swift look through her albums. wow.
Oh, nice.
But
that was like a Shelby Tiffany level pun. I'm proud of you.
That was not planned at all, but it kind of worked. But yeah, love her. Love how she is innovative. I would dare say she is the best music. Like, I don't know. Let me word this. She does the best I don't know how to, she's just the best. Like I'm at a loss for words. I'll say it like this. She can do the most with what she has. Like everybody is like, oh, she's a terrible singer live, or, oh, she doesn't really know how to dance, all these different things. Like, I mean, she's not the, I don't know. She doesn't have the most, like, I guess, powerhouse vocals and, like, I would say a Beyonce type, like, dancing ability. I don't know if Beyonce can dance, but I was just, I was thinking she could. And then, so yeah, she doesn't have all that, but I think musically she does a really good job of putting like an album together, making like a theme, like giving everything to an album that it needs to. And so I think she does a great job at that. She's obviously evolved a lot since her first album. And I admire that because I think it shows, I don't know, a little flexibility, a little talent of like changing genres. That was pretty cool. But I just respect her. I like her. I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. And yeah, there we go. And I guess I was supposed to convince you to like Taylor Swift, but I don't have to because she can do it for herself. She doesn't need any convincing. I don't have to speak for Taylor.
Now, Blake, I will say I was a little disappointed because while you were talking about through like all her discography, you didn't mention my favorite T-Swift song, which I do actually have one. And okay. It is the song Red off the album Red. Oh. I for one, think that's
a great song.
Slaps. That is my professional scientific opinion.
And that's a one album that I love. Her theme, like the theme of the colors that run kind of through the album. Really like that. But yeah, that is one of my favorite songs, actually.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Tanner, what are your thoughts on Blake's Taylor Swift loving?
Well, I've been very...
Okay, let's go on.
I've been very confrontational whenever Blake brings up his love for Taylor Swift.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because I'm a huge Kanye West fan, and so I think
obviously there are some rifts between those two.
Now we dig down to the beef.
Yes, I think so. It's like many of our Mississippi listeners will know this by heart, but kind of like when you're young and you have a friend that likes Ole Miss, but your family makes you like State, and so you think you have to hate the other person. That's how I kind of been. So I've been immature in that respect. But as I was listening to Blake talk, I was actually thinking, someone made the comment, I think on Twitter recently, that like all the people that hate Kanye West just hate him because of his like antics outside of music. But if they listen to his discography, the vast majority would think, if they knew what they're listening to, they would think that it's quality music, just how it changed the whole landscape of things. So I was like, well, if I thought the same way, because my argument has always been with Blake, like, look, she's not this goody two shoes. She's just playing, you know, like she was the victim whenever Kanye went on stage drunk and said Beyonce should have won. What was it? Music video of the year, all that stuff. But her music is good. And like Blake said, it did progress from one thing that was, I mean, back when she debuted, like all we listened to was country when I was real young. And so, man, I kind of got used to it, and they were catchy songs. But now what she's progressed to now has been pretty cool to follow. And so I'll concede that she is a good, if not decent, artist.
And hey, let me interject here. I do not condone any of her beliefs on relationships. We are having a relationship episode pretty soon. And I would not listen to her music for advice on dating.
She just needs to pick up the meaning of marriage along with Jay Bieber and figure that out.
Absolutely. So my love for Taylor Swift does not bleed into her personal life. I just love her creative ability and her musical potential. There we go.
Cool.
So that's me. On to Cody and a less maybe controversial.
Yeah, this one's
controversial, but
this one's not super controversial. Yeah, but
I don't know.
It is something that I feel like I need to convince men of. Okay.
True.
So
this goes with last week's topic. So I like it.
This does. So dudes, I want y'all to take a seat, and I want y'all, this is the sound of me taking off my hat because it's getting serious. Dudes, I want y'all to have an open ear to this, all right? Because I know that when I say it, your initial gut reaction is going to be no, okay? Pinterest.
No.
Is a social media site that dudes should be on. All right. I started with that statement. Let me convince you of why. Most of you, when you hear me say that, you say, but Cody, isn't Pinterest just for target moms to go look up different HOA things and like figure out how they want to manicure their lawns and what kind of color of shiplap they want to put in their house and what kind of baking thing they want to pretend to make, but they're not actually going to make. They're just going to pin it on their boards. Anyway, sorry. So here's the thing. Here is the thing. Pinterest is not just relegated to getting ideas for your wedding or pinning a bunch of like really, really overzealous furniture that you're never going to buy or really, really overzealous baked goods that you're never going to bake because you learn that all of the ingredients are going to cost you $20,000.
True.
Pinterest is at its simplest, most distilled form, a place where you can organize all of your ideas. Okay. Now I'm a dude. All right. I'm going to read you some of the boards that I have made and kind of talk to y'all about how I have relegated dude ideas to Pinterest boards. And it is a fantastic way to do that. And there's a lot of material for it too. Okay.
Okay.
So I've got a board for clothes, right? This is amazing because on Pinterest, you can find all kinds of like outfits that you can get at like Gap or like Old Navy for like cheaps. And it just kind of pairs all these different color combos for you so you can look at it and make your life easier. It's amazing. I've got a board that's a whole bunch of pictures from Westerns that I like True Grit and all that kind of stuff. I got a board that was furniture ideas for when I wanted to move to Baton Rouge. I would literally pin everything from lamps, desks, couches, entertainment centers, bar stools. I would pin all of it on here. And I kid you not, I ended up buying like all the stuff that I bought was stuff that I found on Pinterest. And it wasn't that expensive. I've got a board just for ties that I love, man. I got a board where I've got stuff for future hobbies like learning how to play cello. I've got a board where I've got a whole bunch of recipes that I want to make. I got a board for a whole bunch of cocktails that I want to make because I'm a heathen. I've also got a board of stuff to do in the city that I'm living in right now in Baton Rouge. I've got a board for date ideas. Hello, do that. I've also got a board for, let me see here. What's guitars that I want to buy. I've got a board where I've got a whole bunch of different vinyl records that I want to buy. I've got a board for tips on raising my future golden retriever that is gonna happen. Let me see. You know what? Even on here, I've got a board for clothes for Blake to wear.
Yes.
Because I made that once upon a time.
Because Cody is my fashion advisor, FYI.
This is true. I made a board of clothes for and outfits for Blake to check out. So my point is that if you know what you're going on there looking for and you want to really organize all of your ideas for the future and you plan on actually going back and doing some of these things, like, dude, I kid you not, it's amazing. I can't tell you how many times I've been like planning a dinner with friends and we've all been like, what should we cook? And I'm like, I don't know. Let me go check my Pinterest. And sure enough, there's stuff on there. The cool thing is too, is that on your little homepage, once you start kind of pinning the stuff that you like, it'll start populating your homepage with things similar to the stuff that you've pinned. So It's not based on who you follow. It's more so based on what you yourself are looking at. So like, even if I follow all my Facebook friends on Pinterest, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to get a whole bunch of shiplap and wedding ideas. I could very well get just all the stuff that I enjoy. So there you go. That is my 7-minute spiel on why dudes should have Pinterest and why it's amazing.
Yeah. All three of us have Pinterest. Is that correct?
I've got one.
Do you use it regularly?
I was about to say I'm not as committed as Cody is, but I have been in this season because of
wedding.
Marriage.
Yeah, that's true.
Because of wedding. But also Cody really got me onto it because of fashion and all the ideas that you can find. And I have been looking through a lot of, food things, some menu items, possibilities.
There's some dope,
but I'm not as avid of a user.
Right. Definitely. Cool. Sweet. There you go. There's mine. Now, Tanner, I'm like very interested in yours. And I...
Best for last.
I'm so excited about this.
So mine is the amazing thing that is professional wrestling. Not your Olympic mat wrestling, though it's great. I'm talking wrestling, folks, like WWE, John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, Rock the Dwayne Johnson, as I like to call him. So wrestling, I mean, I can already hear people saying, dude, don't you know it's fake? Oh my God. Yes, everyone in that likes it, I'd say most of the people that like it past a certain age know that it's quote unquote fake, but people in the industry will call it, instead of fake, predetermined results. Because, I mean, if you look.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Because a lot of what they're doing, I mean, you guys have probably seen it if you've seen 6 seconds of it. They are doing some pretty physical activities that involve a lot of risk, very dangerous oftentimes. Some of them include like throwing actual thumbtacks on a mat and slamming someone else onto them for some specific reason.
That's awesome.
But there is, do you guys ever watch Vox videos on YouTube?
They pop up on Snapchat sometimes, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Thought so.
For up until, well, I haven't really watched them much this year, but the last few years they've made like fantastic informative videos on kind of random things. But there was one like literally this week that they posted that was, I think it was titled Wrestling is an Art Form. And so I was like, ooh, perfect. So I clicked it. It was meh. Like the very first sentence he says was incorrect. What he was like a move he was referring to. And some other stuff was incorrect and it was kind of cheesy. But valid point in the title, there is an argument to be made that professional wrestling is one of, if not the first art form to be made in the Americas. Of course, like everything else we had before was stuff that originated somewhere else. So it was one of the first, if not the first art form. And I think it's just that. It's storytelling, just like how an opera or a ballet is storytelling, though it's not using, I guess an opera could be, but not using words. This is kind of the same thing. And so in wrestling, you have good guys and bad guys, good guys called baby faces or faces, bad guys called heels. And oftentimes, if you see kind of the mainstream stuff, they're fighting over a belt, something like that. But it actually is like some pretty good, pretty fun stuff to follow, like what they will start a match over, what they will fight over, friendships, factions, and stuff like that. And so you have the main company that everyone really knows, WWE. It used to be WWF for some of our older listeners. And I will compare WWE to FX. You guys ever watch like movies on FX?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you guys think this way, but when I think of FX, I think, okay, it's going to be one or two good movies I like once a week, but it's going to be very repetitive, the same movies a bunch, and a lot of Michael Bay. Is that is that pretty accurate?
That is correct.
And Iron Man is going to play at least five times a day.
Right.
All three of them.
And so there is what I would say big production. So if we're doing the comparison here, big production, some pretty good stuff in there, but it's very repetitive and it's mostly flashy stuff like Michael Bay movies, but there is pretty good storytelling in there. And you've got, I mean, pretty much the best of the best performers, entertainers there. But the company that I like is actually out of Japan. It's called New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I'll compare them to HBO, which they have, in my opinion, better quality matches, better quality storytelling, stuff like that, better representation. People that, like in WWE, you have five guys that are what they call top of the card that you'll see fighting for the biggest stuff all the time. And those be in rotation. People in the lower card don't really get that much of an opportunity. Not New Japan. A lot of the guys that they kind of work their way up and you get an equal chance. Like I said, really good storytelling, but it's a little more mature content like HBO, stronger, more dangerous stuff, but it's still controlled, a lot dirtier language. But overall, it's just better quality. But what's fun for me, I guess I could have told this very first. How I got into wrestling was actually through my grandmother. Sounds kind of funny, but she...
I'm so into this right now.
She, it's actually my only grandparent still alive. And when I was born, her husband had already passed away. So we'd go over, she lives in the town that I live in. So we'd go over and she would have like just these shelves full of, you remember the VHSs that you would like put in to record? They're like RCA or stuff like that. You would buy them like in packages of 10, all looked the same. And you would put a little label and write something, whatever you recorded on there. Well, she did that, but it was like 90% wrestling. And she would watch it on Mondays. And she actually like really, I don't know what she considers fake and real, because she thinks a lot of it is real. But as like a young child, like I would watch what she was watching, and it was around the Stone Cold Steve Austin time. So it was pretty like crass stuff I couldn't watch, but I would put in one of those tapes back in like the 80s and the 90s. And it was literally, to me, it was like live, real superheroes. I mean, you think these guys are like built like what you see in a comic book. They're just huge, you know, bright colors, doing kind of the craziest things, especially back then, just over the top stuff.
So, kind of like Bonesaw from Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 1.
Right. That was actually the guy that played him was...
Wait, was he real?
Yeah, it was Randy, oh, and Macho Man.
That's awesome.
The guy that was like,
Bonesaw
is ready.
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah, Randy Savage, he actually was like a spokesperson or whatever, like a representative for Slim Jim. And so you would see like all the time his commercial for it, snap into a Slim Jim, yeah. and that's how he talked. So like you had over the top guys like that. So I was like hooked. I was like, this is amazing. It's like an actual superhero, but these are real men. And so throughout like early middle school, still kind of watching it pretty regular. And then to early high school, I was like, all right, I got to chill out. People are going to make fun of me. I didn't watch it as much, like kept up with the big stuff. And then into college, kind of started jumping back in a little ironically, kind of jokingly, you know, mess around with friends. Like, yeah, I watch wrestling. But then recently got back into it because all I'd watched up until probably 5 years ago was WWE. Found out about New Japan, had some great matches that I saw there. And then the indies, the independent wrestling circuit, is really where I got hooked over the last few years because of, like, I started to see it more as an art form.
I love it. It sounds like we're talking about your evolution of music taste. But
heck yes. But it's not. It's something that people make fun of. And so the independents, you have, like, guys that aren't going to – that will haven't, I guess, made it to the big leagues, or guys that have been in the industry for 20 years that know what they're doing, but they're fighting what used to be, like, in high school gyms in your local armory, National Guard armory, or – how they jokingly talk about it, and I keep saying the industry, they call it bingo halls, because they used to show up and stuff like that to wrestle, but now it's big. And so, yeah, it's just become really fun for me to watch. I will close it with three moments in wrestling that made me cry. Does that sound good?
I'm here for this. Yes.
These three moments. First one, and they're going in chronological order. The first one is a match, now 9 years ago, a little over 9 years ago, Ric Flair versus the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Rick, are you guys familiar with Ric Flair?
Give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo! Ric Flair, Cody, is, he's, if you were to, you are, he's pretty much like on everyone's Mount Rushmore of best wrestlers.
This guy.
Yeah. Flamboyant, really good, like actual performer. 2009, I don't know if you still have his page up, so subtract 9 years from his age. How old was he? Or how old would he be 9 years ago?
Maybe.
I don't know if you still have his page up.
He was born in 1949 is what I know.
So.
Quick math.
60. He was 60. If I'm wrong, listeners, let me know on Twitter at Future Family Pod. Around 60 years old, he's beaten and battered. He's fighting in the biggest show of the year against one of my favorite wrestlers, Shawn Michaels. If he loses, he has to retire. And Shawn did not want to, in storyline, not want to retire him. He looked up to him, as everyone did, like a mentor, one of the best, and to be the guy that retires the best would be great, but everyone would hate you. They have a really good match, and Rick is like beaten, barely can get up, and Sean is standing in the corner to deliver his finisher, which is Sweet Chin Music's, a kick to the face. He doesn't want to do it. You see it like in his face, and Rick gets up and he's telling him to hit it. He's saying, come on, come on. And Sean looks at him. They have a really good camera shot, and he looks at him and he says, I'm sorry, I love you. And he hits it, ends it. Ric Flair has to retire. So
that is the best bromance I've ever heard.
Heck yes. It was fantastic. Because of not only the fact that he's retiring, it was pretty emotional, but like that moment. So kind of like your favorite moment that made you cry in a really good movie. The next two are related. The second one happened last year. It was the match that broke the rating system, is what people call it. Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada. It's over in Japan. And there's this journalist called Dave Meltzer. He famously for the last 30 years has rated most of the matches like on a 5-star scale. This is the second match these two have had. Their first one was the first ever match to get 6 stars. This one got 6.25. And this, Okada is the champ. Kenny Omega, my favorite wrestler right now, wrestling him. Kenny's a part of this faction. They're kind of like the bad guys. They come in and jump people in the middle of a match and interfere and stuff like that to help people win, help their own members win. Kenny tells them, like, don't come in. They're called the Bullet Club. He says, Club, don't come in. I want to, you know, win this fair and square. He's getting beat in the middle of the match. It's really good. He's doing great, but it starts getting beat and just can't get up. They come in like they're about to interfere, but they stop, and then one of them comes in because in this in New Japan, you can actually literally throw in a towel for someone to call the match off. One of them brings in a towel, and the other ones are trying to stop him, throw it in. Kenny, his face, it's like I said, it's good acting. You can see, like, he wants to not disappoint them. He wants to get up, but there's so much agony. And then he hits this sequence of moves that's like a comeback kid, I guess you just call it, which was pretty – this one didn't really make me cry. Now that I think about it, it was more goosebumps, just of, again, like really emotional storytelling. The last one, Kenny Omega and his tag team partner, Kota Ibushi, are a tag team called the Golden Lovers. They used to be a tag team, really great. They reformed this year to like a reunion to much fanfare. Kenny Omega's best friends, the Young Bucks, their two brothers that are a tag team, they got somewhat offended when Kenny said, hey, me and Ibushi are the best tag team in the world, challenged them to a match. Much like the Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, he didn't want to fight them because they're his best friends. One of them was very hurt in storyline, not actually hurt. And he sets him up for like a big move that would actually hurt his friend. He doesn't want to do it. And his friend like screams at him, do it, be a man, ends up hitting it. And a bunch of other stuff. That one didn't really give me, or that one gave me goosebumps as well, not much cry. But all that to say, it's very good storytelling. It's an art form, ladies and gentlemen. It's predetermined. It's not fake. And you can have a pretty fun time. Actually, my parents got me for last Christmas tickets to Monday Night Raw at WWE in Memphis. And we went, me and my dad, mid-January this year. So it was pretty fun, like, to go experience it live, but to be with then probably about 15,000 people in an arena. And I mean, it's kind of like a sporting, it's pretty much like a sporting event. You're chanting different things together. You're booing, you're cheering. You're taking for emotional roller coasters, stuff like that. It's a pretty fun experience. So if you ever have anyone come to your local National Guard armory, high school gym, or arena, you should definitely check it out at least once.
Well, there you go.
That's a good explanation. And, you know, Tanner, I was going to say this. Everyone I know that they're into that or they watch it, they're all in. They're not like a casual, like, oh, yeah, I kind of dabble in wrestling. It's like, oh, yeah, I watch WWE. Like, I watch wrestling.
Yeah. And you basically just said like the biggest inside joke and you didn't even know it. Because the independents, like I said, they are, have been known as like the bingo halls for the last 30, 40 years. And, this year, so the people I just mentioned, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, they, not only are they a part of the Bullet Club, but they have a group called the Elite. They have, what I should have mentioned earlier, they have an amazing YouTube channel where they like, it started off behind the scenes, like, hey, this is what it looks like, as a wrestler to travel, especially in the independents, you're traveling all over to do dates and make money. But they started to turn that into doing storyline stuff. So in wrestling, it's known as kayfabe to like, if you get quote unquote injured in a match, not really injured, to like, if you're out at the store, you would still fake that injury. You'd keep kayfabe so that people wouldn't be able to tell what's real and what's not. So all this, they would do these videos built up to basically getting challenged to run a event that would be, that they would sell 10,000 seats, which would be unheard of for independent promotion. Well, they did it, set the tickets up online to sell earlier this year, sold out in 30 minutes, which is again, unheard of. And the title of the event was All In. Huh. So,
that's crazy.
All the wrestlers that would be part of it would say I'm all in. So
how about that?
Heck yeah.
Well,
oh, that's cool. Well, yeah, that's our unashamed opinions or things we like that we are unashamed about that maybe you don't like, but hey, we want you to consider them. We hopefully, gave enough of a pitch. What'd you call it?
Yeah, that's a pitch.
A reasoning. Yeah. A reasoning behind why we love it. That you might check, that item or that person or that show or following out. So, but yeah, but now on to more things we recommend. On to our weekly segment, or I guess every episode-ly segment.
our fortnightly segment.
Yeah. What we're into. And so I'll start. Or Cody, do you want to start?
You go ahead, man.
Okay. Real quick, I'm just going to give you mine and then peace out. I was thinking about it, what I wanted to recommend, and it's a TV show, actually.
This is the first and it's TV called, show from Blake.
Yes. It's called This Is Us.
Oh.
And you probably heard about it, and you might have an opinion of it if you haven't watched it. But really quick, I'm going to give you why I really enjoy This Is Us. And FYI, it's coming out. It's season 3 starts next week. So if you're listening and haven't watched it, you can check it out on Hulu, catch up, and then probably be caught up by middle of the season 3. But anyways, I love it because it makes you cry. And it makes you cry a whole lot. And I say that because multiple times, multiple episodes, I have cried. And I'm not like just a manly man that never cries or whatever, but I'm very emotional. I'm okay with crying, but I think it would make people who are like anti tears cry. Like, I think that's how good that
Blake at me next time.
Is. But two reasons I love this show. Number one, kind of going to what you were saying, Tanner, they do really well at storytelling. The whole, I guess, theme of the show centers around a family and their relationship with their father, and the relationship of the mother and father. But it kind of just stems from that. And the storytelling is beautiful. I love how just it's very intricate and very detailed. The scene or the TV show will kind of fluctuate between like stages of life. So it'll really highlight a bunch of different time periods, eras. So it's like the 70s, 80s, 90s, and then present day is all kind of highlighted at different points. Love that about it. Love the creativity in that. But also love how they talk about real life things. And they talk about it like really kind of like real and raw kind of, I guess, storytelling with that. But for example, they talk about death, and they talk about really the how you deal with that and how you go out of that, I guess, and how you like walk through it with family members and friends and stuff like that. They've talked about adoption and foster care, which is, I guess, can be like a really good thing to do. But they also looked at some of the hard things about those two things, which I love. They talk about racism, just how to walk through it, like when you're actually dealing with it. They talk about just family issues, like just things that I guess other TV shows really wouldn't dive into. They really dive into it, and I love it. And so This Is Us, I would definitely recommend it. Again, season 3 starting next week. So
is it, is it available for streaming anywhere, Blake?
I know it's on Hulu.
Yes.
It's on Hulu.
Hulu.
Yes, dude. I've been watching Hulu recently, so that's perfect.
Perfect, yeah. You could definitely catch up on it. And then, yeah, season 3 will be on NBC, but I think right after it airs, it goes straight to Hulu. Yeah. So
this isn't my recommendation. Got a Hulu account. Sorry, go ahead.
You're good. No, that's all.
Oh, this isn't my recommendation this week, but I haven't talked to you guys about this yet. Hulu is on a really big kick of producing shows based on Stephen King books. So they recently came out with 11/22/63. They are doing a show right now. They're releasing one every Wednesday called Castle Rock, which I love, but probably shouldn't recommend on this podcast. It's one of those. Yeah. But it's fantastic. I love this trend, and I'm just saying, dude, if they keep it up, the Dark Tower TV series is coming. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Tanner, you want to go next? Or Blake, did you have another one? Or was that?
No, that was the only one.
Okay, got you. Go ahead, Tanner.
Wow. We're still doing two, or should I just cut back to one?
You can do two if you want.
Oh, were we doing two?
I've actually got three really short ones, so I can just hammer those out.
Yeah, I mean, no. Tanner, do two. Happy with This Is Us.
Yeah. Being cool. Well, you can actually jump in on my second one. My first one is, since we're kind of still on the unashamed opinions, another TV show, Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, there's nothing to be ashamed about there.
No, yeah, true. Not at all.
I have at the time of recording, Wednesday, September 19th, I have not finished the series. I am 7 or 8 episodes away. But I bought the DVD set at Walmart a few weeks ago because I liked it as we were about 5th or 6th grade when it came out. So 5th or 6th grader, I liked it, but didn't watch it weekly, so didn't get to finish it. But have loved it. Again, I think our theme so far has been storytelling, or at least for the last 20 minutes. Really good storytelling, really good character development, really funny. And I was literally thinking on the way to, I was going to mow a yard yesterday, and was thinking about, I did not see the M. Night Shyamalan live action.
Good.
I'd always heard that it was terrible, and I'd seen some of the pictures from it recently. You know, everyone was like, just terrible cultural awareness. Why do you have white people as any of these people? Nonetheless, I was thinking, well, not that Avatar: The Last Airbender is anime. It's kind of borderline, if best. But I was like, there's no way you could ever do any anime-related movie live action. And then the announcement came like 3 hours later that Netflix will be doing a live action series on Avatar: The Last Airbender. Did y'all see that announcement yesterday?
I did see that, yes.
Cody, did you see it?
I did not see it yet, but I saw you guys post about it on Twitter.
Yeah. So, but the two creators will be, like, I think executive producers. They've said that they're going to do all that they can to make sure that it's correct. There's no gentrification or appropriation. It's correct culturally. And there was like a, what was it, like concept art picture of Appa that looked pretty cool, but I was like, I don't know. Like, my tweet today was, if they don't have the cabbage vendor, the mouth foam guy, and they don't have The Rock playing the boulder,
to bring The Rock in. There's no doubt about it. Now, Tanner, I want to ask you, who do you want to play? Is it Aang? Yeah. Do you have like someone in mind?
I don't. If it's going to be like a true Netflix series with really good funding, yeah. if they can find like a quality maybe unheard of kid. So like, what's the
So you're saying that they can do to this kid what Stranger Things did to like Millie Bobby Almost Brown and
yeah, yeah,
the whole crew. Yeah.
And what's the the Matthew McConaughey movie out right now?
White Boy Rick. Yeah.
Yeah. So the kid in that, did you hear that story?
No.
Oh, he was Matthew McConaughey was telling on Jimmy Fallon. They were searching, like, they had probably hundreds, if not a thousand, like, auditions for the kid. And the director was just like, I just haven't found the right one. I think it's based in Baltimore. I'm not sure. They were going to schools seeing if there was any kids. They went to this principal. They're like, hey, can we, you know, see if there's any kids here? Perhaps, like, drama or something like that. And he's like, what kind of, like, role? And he told him, like, it's a pretty troubled kid around this age. And the principal, like, pointed to one of the kids that was waiting to get, like, paddled or something. He's like, you should start with that one right there. And sure enough, they're like, okay. And the kid never acted before in his life, but they're like, this is the one. Nice. So that's how they got him. If that works for Aang.
Yeah. Hey, while we're talking about Matthew McConaughey, Hulu, if you're listening, I'm going to put this in the airwaves. Bring Matthew McConaughey back as the Man in Black on your inevitable Dark Tower series, please. That's all I wanted to say. Okay. Tanner, what's your number two?
Yep. Number two is, we were talking about this pre-show. I've really enjoyed so far. It's only been 2 days, so this could change. But the Screen Time edition, as well as the notification groupings edition to the iOS 12 update. So listeners that have iPhones, if you haven't updated iOS 12, it's not as big of an update as a recent one, so you don't have to delete as much. If you have a newer phone, then you shouldn't have to worry about that, because you probably have enough space. So go ahead and do it. The screen, and go ahead and go to the settings and Screen Time. In this edition, Blake, you can kind of give your opinion, because you've done it a day more than me. It's very, I thought it was helpful. It doesn't, so you have, well, I'll explain it real quick. You go in there and you can set by kind of like groupings. So the two that I have on are social media and entertainment. So all my social media apps, as well as my entertainment apps, being like YouTube, Netflix, I forget, maybe music is under that. You can set an hour limit each day for that. And once you reach that hour limit, it'll give you like a I think 15 minutes before, say, hey, 15 minutes left on your screen time today. Once it gets there, it'll pop up like a little hourglass, and it'll say you've reached your limit. But it offers you like extend it 15 minutes or turn it off for the day. It could be really easy to snooze it like an alarm, but don't do it. I've liked it so far because it like has made me conscious of how many times I'm picking up my phone to check Twitter. Blake, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I really, really like that option, mainly because of the reasons you said. It makes you conscious of like, oh, I'm actually picking up my phone 15 times an hour to look at Snapchat and Instagram simultaneously or something like that. I also do like the option, it's called downtime. So you can pick a time. So my downtime is 10 o'clock and it'll end at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I might adjust that as time goes on. But what it does, it's like a scheduled time away from the screen. So during downtime, only apps that you choose to allow will be available.
Oh, like, so like someone can text you or call you or whatever. But
yeah.
Right.
So like phone call, text message, and anything that you choose can be available during downtime, but everything else is like locked out. And so, and just like Tanner said, it's not like locked out. You can actually snooze that, that feature or whatever, but it does, I guess, give you more of a mindset. Hey, I don't need my phone as much as I think I need my phone. So I do like that about it. So thank you, Apple.
Heck yeah. Cody.
Okay. So I've got three, but they're all going to go really quick. So the first one's going to take like less than a minute. If you are looking for a new study Bible, I can't highly enough recommend the Charles Spurgeon Study Bible. So this thing, okay, so here's the thing with this. It's not great if you're looking for like cross references and like getting into the really like nerdy stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not the kind of study Bible that you would want to get to kind of pair with like a Greek to English lexicon or like a, or when you're looking to do like the really, really like deep dive kind of stuff. However, it is an awesome study Bible if you are just looking to maybe just look through a passage and then just go down and like read some really, really insightful things that are said about that passage. This one has a bunch of actual handwritten notes from Charles Spurgeon in it. And the margins are like populated with his sermon notes on specific verses. So I looked up the one for one of my favorite verses, Philippians 2, the other day. And well, I flipped to it real quick. Yeah, so this is just like a little section of what he said about Philippians 2. He said, let me find it real quick. Paul wishes to unite the saints of Philippi in the holy bands of love. To do this, he takes him to the cross. In the cross, there is a cure for every spiritual disease. There is food for every spiritual virtue in the Savior. We can never go to him too often. And it's just really good stuff like that all over the place. And it's ESV, which, as we all know, you can't spell saved without ESV. So there you go. My next one, Blake, I recommend that you actually look this one up while I talk about it, because I got Tanner to do it earlier, and okay, I love it. I found this guy on Redbubble, but Blake, I recommend going on society6.com. It has more of his artwork. It's an artist, so go to society6.com and look up Frank Moth, M-O-T-H. So if you're looking for like prints for your house, this guy has some really cool artwork that he, I think he calls it on his Instagram page, the style is future nostalgic. Okay. So it's like a bunch of these pictures that look like they would be taken like outside of a diner in the 1950s or something, as far as like the people go and the shading of the color, but the background is like space stuff. Okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Didn't you send me two pictures of this or something like
that? I think I did. My favorite one, and if you're
have me to choose.
Yeah. If you're like looking on this right now at your, in the safety of your homes, my favorite one is just called Love. And we used to live there. Those are two of my favorites by him. But these are really, really cool art prints that you can buy for maybe like $20 and
$19.99.
Yeah. They're awesome. So I recommend go look through Frank Moth. And that's really cool artwork for your walls. It really seems like it would fit well in the college dorm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He's also got stickers for laptops, which I might order me one of those too. So
yeah, hoodies, wall clocks, throw pillows.
Ooh, the wall coasters. Clock version of We Used to Live There is really cool. Mm. So, yep, mucho recommend. That's my second one. And then my third one, which is the longer one, the Popcast. It's a podcast that I have been spreading like the gospel. Danny Kraft is hooked on this right now. Mary Kellenberger is also hooked on this right now. I am spreading this podcast. But what it is these two people, Knox McCoy and Jamie Golden. And they're both from Alabama, so they bring that kind of like that kind of perspective into things. But they just talk about all kinds of different pop culture stuff for like an hour each episode, which I love. And it's a humor podcast, which I also love, about pop culture. So if you know me, you know that like, if you recommend a podcast to me, if it's humor, I'll for sure listen. If it's like news, I'll probably listen. If it's like Christian thought, I will maybe listen. And if it's sermon audio, I'm sorry, I'm probably not going to listen to it. That's pretty much the hierarchy of my podcast recommendations. But I guess that means that I'm a pagan. But no, I really recommend this podcast. It's absolutely hysterical. Two episodes I recommend everybody start on. So they kind of have recurring episodes. They have one where it's just called The Nose Of. So they've got like The Nose of Spring, The Nose of Fall, The Nose of Motherhood, The Nose of Dating. They've got two episodes on weddings, The Nose of Weddings and More Nose of Weddings. One of them where they kind of riff on like their opinions on like weird wedding traditions. And then another one where they just share listener horror stories from different weddings that listeners went to. They're all so funny. I cannot recommend enough starting with those. And then the other one to look up any of their Urban Dictionary episodes, because they will just randomly pick different phrases from Urban Dictionary and then read the definition and then say whether or not they want to incorporate those into their daily vernacular. They're also Christians, so they bring that like sense of humor into it, but they kind of have the same sense of humor about Christianity that we do, which is we like to poke fun at the stupid stuff that we do a lot. So that's the Popcast is an incredible podcast. Everyone should listen to it. So there you go.
Well, hey, that was our ramblings for this episode. And as always, we're the Future Family Podcast. Tanner, tell them how they can contact us.
Yeah, you can first find us on Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter. Tweet us. Interact with us. The @ is Future Family Pod. Future Family Pod. Or you can email us your questions, your life questions. We have kids emailing us all the time, just asking us a lot of things. We direct those to our friend Wordsblade over at Instagram. You can find him at Wordsblade. He answers most of them. But you can email us at futurefamilypodcast@gmail.com. Cody, you want to tell them what our next episode is going to be
about?
Yes,
we are going to be talking about social media, everyone. So I've got written down here some of the kind of things we're going to discuss around social media. But we're going to kind of talk about, is it good? Is it a thing we should be doing? Is it, because, you know, that's how Christians think about things. What do we like about it? What do we dislike about it? What are some healthy ways to use it? We may even go on some humorous riffs. So, look forward to our episode on social media dropping in 2 weeks from this one.
And that's that. That is our Unashamed Opinions episode. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And as promised, it was less than an hour. Barely.
Woo!
But
we made it. Oh, there goes the bug zapper again.
Oh, yeah. Another bug.
I thought you popped a confetti gun.
I know. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I got props ready at all times.
Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, as always, until next time, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And we are your future family.